At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. Another busy day in the Pittsburgh sports world. I was down at the Steelers facility for my final trip to minicamp. They have one more day. I will not make it there. Today, going to talk a little bit about them and some stuff that they have going on. The Penguins made an important assistant coach hire. They hired Mike Sullivan's doppelganger, David Quinn, formerly of the Sharks and Rangers. Going to get into a few thoughts on that. But our lead topic today is going to be the Pirates. They suffered a loss to the Cardinals. That series is tied at one game apiece. Some stuff I think you can kind of throw away from it, but there's some stronger takeaways that I want to pick at here in a minute. But first, I want to remind you that we are brought to you, as always, by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates, their appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. All right, so the Pirates fell to the Cardinals 4-2. I'm not inclined to care too much, kind of how the Cardinals got their hits. Neil Walker used the analogy death by a thousand paper cuts on the broadcast. I thought that was fair. You know, just some balls that fell in. A lot of singles, 11 hits, you know, 10 of them for singles, I believe. Bailey Falter, maybe you'd like to see a little bit more. Pitch count got elevated. He was out early. Sonny Gray for the Cardinals was very good. You tip your cap to a degree. Some stuff, though, that I saw that is a little bit more lasting, or I hope is a little bit more lasting for the Pirates, Kyle Nicholas and Henry Davis. In two spots where they need young guys to really take a step forward. Henry Davis hits his first home run of the season this year. An absolute shot, too, by the way. I got some numbers on that one. It was a 2-1 slider down in the zone, 104.8 off the bat, traveled 412 feet. That's what we're looking for out of Mr. Davis, right? Showed signs of that in spring training, showed signs of that last year, largely has not found that swing at the major league level. I went back to Indianapolis, was working on some adjustments, really some reversions, if you want to call it that, kind of his back to his old setup, his old stance. And those adjustments haven't paid off at the major league level. You don't need me to tell you that, but Henry has been working. The one thing I will say about Henry Davis is you can never shortchange him in terms of work ethic and putting a lot into it. It's very impressive how serious he goes about his business. And again, Yasmani Grandal offensively has not given the Pirates anything. We know that. Defensively, it's been so-so. I mean, you're not going to go to Joey Bart whenever he gets healthy, Jason DeLay whenever he gets up here, whatever, and really expect much with the bat. The Pirates could use a couple young guys to come up here and figure it out with the bat. I know it's only one home run, not trying to jump to any conclusions, but if Henry Davis can get that type of swing off and get those results, anything resembling those results, it'll be big for the Pirates. In another area of need, we also saw something come through in Kyle Nicholas. I'm guilty of this. I think a lot of people watching have been guilty of this, of just getting tired of watching him fail to find the strike zone. A lot of times it seems like Kyle is just trying to throw the ball 150 miles an hour and winds up missing the strike zone in the process. Well, he's kind of found some stuff, or at least he did against the Cardinals. Was really, really, really good. 99 to Nolan Gorman, strikeout, Nolan Arenado, slider, good night. Four-seamer to Paul Goldschmidt, see you later. That was one of those really goofy swings, by the way. Another slider, another four-seamer. Just dominant stuff from Kyle Nicholas. And I bring that up because it's good news that Ryan Borucki is throwing, certainly through a bullpen today in St. Louis, but they need bullpen arms. I would argue they need at least one more, maybe two. Borucki is a lefty, fireman type will be good. But if Holderman could, for some reason or very quickly, figure this out, maybe become what Carmen Majinski was last year, that would be huge. And again, for a bullpen arm, I'm not going to go crazy over two innings. It's only two innings. But if that's a sign of things to come, good news for the Pirates. On the flip side of that, another takeaway I had after tonight's game and just stuff recently is Ke'Bryan Hayes. Kind of been you know, watching this but not wanting to react to it with his back issues and just allowing games to sort of snowball. And, you know, he'd have a couple hits and then be quiet. And well, anyway, he's 0 for 4 tonight. Not a particularly strong game from Hayes. And I decided to do a year-over-year comparison and look at what he did over the final 2 months last year and how good that was compared to what we're not getting out of him right now. So Hayes, August 1st through the end of last season, 49 games, .299 average, .874 OPS, 15 doubles, 2 triples, 10 homers, 29 ribs, 31 runs scored. That's a lot. Check out my Twitter feed for a little bit more of a succinct reaction to that. But so far this season, 45 games, .241 average, .632 OPS, 7 doubles, no triples, 2 homers, 15 ribs, and 21 runs scored. That's not good. The number I look at with Hayes is the .632 OPS. That's obviously nowhere near good enough, not what it was last year. It is actually worse than where he was at in 2021 and 2022, where we questioned how much offense was in there. Need to figure it out. I don't know if it's a health-related thing, but that offense was so good when you had Ke'Bryan in the middle of it, and it's just not that way right now. But they've been scoring runs. I'm not bashing that, but what I'm saying is they're not getting as much as they could or need out of Ke'Bryan Hayes, and I'd really like to see that change sometime soon. All right, that does it for our Pirates topics. Want to shift over to hockey and David Quinn. I actually like this hire. I've liked David Quinn for a while. He, of course, spent 3 years coaching the Rangers. Also replaced Jack Parker at Boston University, the alma mater that he shares with Mike Sullivan. Those two are good friends. They go back a long time. David Quinn's got a good story. And it's also funny because he looks exactly like Mike Sullivan. I remember being in Madison Square Garden. I think it was 21 or 22, something like that. It's when we were dabbling with the senior sports writer role, and I ended up on a trip there. And I think that was it. Maybe I could be getting my, but whatever. I remember being in Madison Square Garden and you know, the story was like how much Sullivan looked like David Quinn, and the two of them get a kick out of it. Anyway, more formal stuff, obviously, is for this to work out. And the question I have, and I don't know if I have a good answer for it right now. I think it's going to take talking to Mike or David or Kyle Dubas or whatever. Who's in charge of the power play? Didn't say that in his job description. Says he'll work with the defenseman. Okay, that's great. Todd Reirden did that. Todd Reirden also handled the power play. I have a theory, or maybe it's a hope, because I'm not basing this on, you know, informed opinion. This is just straight opinion. The Pirates. The Penguins would be wise to hire somebody solely for the power play. Power play concepts, how to integrate speed, how to not give up shorthanded goals, how to find fits, how to, Sullivan likes to say, be predictable for one another, but not for the opponent, how to build movement in. Somebody that is their entire job. Clearly, it has not been good enough lately. So I don't know if David Quinn is going to be that guy. Maybe he is. But I would like to see some extra eyes on the power play, and we'll see if it gets there. But as far as hiring an assistant coach, I certainly can't argue with David Quinn. He's more than qualified. Makes me also think, like, if things wouldn't go right. No, I don't think we're there, given Sullivan's ties to the U.S. Olympic hockey team and all this stuff. Like, you know, bad start. I don't think they're canning him. That's not what I'm saying. But it is another set of eyes. It's almost like Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith. You've got a guy who's clearly an NFL head coach, NHL head coach. He's been there before. Add some experience. So I think that's good for the Penguins in that regard. All right, want to hit on a couple Steelers topics before I get out of here today. Interesting session with Terrell Austin. One of the things, maybe my biggest takeaway from that and talking a little bit of defense is his usage of Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I appreciated his honesty. Ray Fittipaldo wrote about this. And if you haven't, check out Ray's story, of course, but he basically took the blame for Minkah Fitzpatrick having a largely unproductive 2023 season. I don't think it's just the defensive coordinator. I think it's on the players. You know, it's everybody. It's never one thing. But it is an important aspect of the Steelers, if you think about it. Minkah Fitzpatrick, first, you know, what, 5 years of his tenure, 4 or 5 years of his tenure, was so dynamic. Just making so much happen on the back end. It just didn't happen last year. And maybe that's pass rush related. Maybe that's Minka usage related, whatever. Maybe it's injury related, but such an important factor to that defense being something that it can be. Obviously, Cam Hayward, he was a big discussion point with Austin and some other people, you know, him having a bounce back year. Keanu Benton having a great sophomore season, important parts to it. I'm going to be writing today about the linebackers and how much I think of this group and how special I think it can be. The secondary, bringing Cam Sutton back, Dante Jackson, Deshaun Elliott, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of new pieces, but I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about the defense and what it can do. Last thing I heard that I wanted to highlight, George Pickens talking. I like hearing George Pickens talk. It entertains me. He's very smart, and it's funny when he says certain things. Like, there will be questions that George doesn't really want to get into, and he just shoves them aside quickly, but stuff he does want to say, it's quite good. I asked him if he had been working in the slot more, and this is like a Steelers reporting thing where you just see something happening, and then you have to get the player to say it. But anyway, I asked him that, and he said, yeah, he's been working in the slot more than really he ever has at the NFL level, which is an interesting thought to me. I don't love what the Steelers would be left with on the outside, at least as of now. I still think they have a move for a wide receiver somewhere in there, and maybe that balances it out. I don't love an idea where you have Roman Wilson and Van Jefferson or something on the outside and George Pickens on the inside. But if you can create some mismatches there, it's an intriguing way of using George Pickens for sure. All right, I'm a minute over. I'm sorry. Hopefully it's not too inconvenient. Thank you for watching and staying with me. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of this content and stuff from our other Post-Gazette writers. I'll be back here same time, same place tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.